Hello and namaste. I'm Peter Furco, and this is Peter's podcast, where we talk about real yoga, actual happiness, and deep living. Thanks for joining me. In today's episode, I'm going to be talking to Roque Rodriguez about Suryaside, a yoga studio he co-founded in Sunnyside, Queens. We get to talk about his experience opening a studio, about his yoga journey, and about some new projects he's launching. We also get to talk about being creative, one of my favorite topics. I hope you enjoy our conversation. Hey, Roque.
Hello, Peter.
How's it going?
It's going well. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well, and it's great to be here at Suryaside.
Thank you so much for coming. I know it's a trek from Brooklyn, right?
I came from Long Island.
You came from Long Island,
at least for another few months.
Oh, it's awesome. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
It's really sweet.
Yeah. So, you know, we've circulated a lot in the same orbits, but I haven't had a lot of time to spend with you, and I'm always admiring from afar the things that you're doing with your studio and outside your studio. So
thank you so much. That's really, really kind. It's really super humbling and like almost embarrassingly so, because I've admired you also for a long time. So I appreciate everything that you're doing, and you saying that is weird for me. Well, I just want everybody to know that the weirdness in my voice is real. It feels weird, but it's great.
Thank you.
So thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So I first knew you because you did teacher training at ISHTA, but I wasn't a part of that teacher training. I just sort of wandered through from time to time.
You did wander
and
through.
And saw you there.
Yeah, and I took your class a couple of times. It was very pleasant. I did my teacher training, my 300-hour teacher training at ISHTA. I really, really loved it. It was probably one of the most impactful things that has happened in my life. You know, it definitely was one of the most impactful things that happened in my life. It has, you know, influenced the way I teach profoundly. Mm-hmm. And really the way I live, you know, actually profoundly. You know, Mona Anand was my mentor in that teacher training, and she's one of the most important people that has crossed the path in my life. So I'm very grateful.
Yeah. You know, Alan Finger always talks about teacher training as really acharya, like learning to be a serious student of yoga.
Yeah.
And then when you're a serious student of yoga, then teaching is a natural.
Yeah.
You know, because then you're teaching what you're doing.
What you're doing. Yeah. Yeah. You're just sharing like how you approach things. And that's something that, you know, I'm still working on now as a teacher. Like, mm-hmm. There are a lot of teachers, you know, yourself and other people included, who can tell stories and kind of weave masterfully everything into asana class. And I haven't quite been able to do that yet. But what mm-hmm. I have tried to share is when I'm teaching is my approach. And that's what I'll talk about is like the way I'm looking at this, the way that I'm trying to do this.
Right.
And that's what I'm really trying to share. And I'm trying to weave in being able to like Mona tell these amazing, like epic stories and life lessons into the middle of that to put more of a fine point on it.
Yeah.
But that is what I just try to share. It's just like, well, this is how I approach things.
Absolutely.
This is what I've considered when I'm approaching things. Have you considered things this way? And that's
I think it's totally valid. Yeah. You know, I mean, as some people are looking at things in a more philosophical way, and other people are looking at things in a more kinesthetic way, and they're all really valid.
Absolutely.
You know, it's just a matter of it being authentic.
And that's what it is. Yeah. So that's why, and sometimes I'm like, oh, I should tell a story about, you know, A, B, or C. And I'm like, and then I get into this whole, and we'll come to it later, but I get into this whole funny paradox of, well, if I'm telling this story just for the purpose of telling a why story, is that fake?
Yeah.
You know, is that a real thing? If I don't feel personally, specifically inspired today about something, should I come in here and try and share inspirational words? Is that wrong? Or is the fact that, oh, this inspirational story I generally agree with.
Right.
So for me to come in and talk about it today is fine, even if I don't feel that way right now.
Yeah.
And I still wrestle with that.
Right.
Still. You know, I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
I mean, well, I think teachers in general, they go up and down in terms of their energy or how much they feel like teaching any given day.
Yeah.
But because you've been teaching over time, you bring like the body of your teaching into the classroom, and then you start on something, and then often the teaching changes the way you feel. By teaching becomes part of a yoga practice.
Always, I always tell people, like, you know, I bartended for a long. I should go back and give my bio at some point. But I would just say I bartended for a long time while I was teaching, and even when I bartended, I still taught at least two or three times a week, mm-hmm. and for often no money, and then like for very often very little money.
Right.
And I always told people, like, it was always so much more rewarding than the bartending. Mm-hmm. Like every single time I walked out of a yoga class, I felt good. You know, I just felt good. I had a yoga class that I just taught. Sometimes I walked out questioning what I just taught. Like, I don't know what I taught, but I mean, I feel good, but like, I don't know what they feel about what I just taught. Like, I wonder ? But like, I feel good. I always felt like beaten down after a bartending shift, and I only felt good when I was counting my money. Like when I was counting my money, I'm like, all right, awesome. But like then I would limp home.
The reward was in the pay, not in the work.
It was just the money, but like the work itself was giving me nothing,
right?
Or very little. So I always tell people, like, teaching yoga is extremely rewarding. I always feel like I practice. It's almost like as if I just took a class when I teach a class, and that's such a very weird thing to explain to people,
right? I have people who don't really know much about teaching who think that every time I'm teaching, I'm doing like a whole yoga practice.
Right before you teach.
Well, as the teaching, like I'm just doing the practice too, you know, but you know, it's not that. And yet it's so much in the flow of the yoga too.
Yeah.
Even though I'm not doing that practice that they're doing.
No. Yeah. But I don't know if it's one of these things where, because you're saying the words and maybe visualizing it happening, you might feel it in your body also.
It's because it's energy.
Because it's energetic.
Yeah. Oh,
it's so awesome. It's beautiful. Yeah. And I'm like an energy, because I'm a very like empathetic person. So, you know, I do feed off of energy. I feel energy. I'm very sensitive to people's energy. So, that's why I've always loved
it. So you did your 200-hour training where?
I did my 200-hour training at Yoga to the People.
That's what I thought.
Okay. Yeah, I did my 200-hour training at Yoga to the People.
Which, for people who don't know that, that's a place where you can take yoga for donation.
Correct. That's a studio where you can practice for a donation. I did that in 2009. 2009. And then I taught for a while. I rented a space and just started teaching to friends because I didn't like feel comfortable in the studio system necessarily. Mm-hmm. I didn't really like want to pursue a teaching job there, but I wanted to teach. So I started renting space and teaching to friends. And that's when I realized, or that's when I felt like I didn't have the tools necessary to teach my friends. Like, cause things would come up and I didn't know how to help them.
Right.
Right. Like they were like, oh, well, this, I can't do that. And I would be like,
you saw the limits of your own knowledge.
Of my own knowledge. And I was like, oh, well, I don't know. Don't do it. Skip it. Take a child's pose. Right. Like I was just like, oh, just skip it. That was my answer. Like, just don't do it. You can't do it. And then I got a yoga passbook actually and started, a friend of mine from Yoga to the People and I, a fellow teacher, just started going around and taking classes at all the different studios. Trying them out. And then I went to Ishta. I had a week at Ishta. So I went and took a class with, whose class did I take first? Julie, actually.
Oh, okay.
Was the first class that I took, Julie Wilcox. And then I took Sarah's class.
Yeah.
Sarah's Flow and Restore. And then I was just like, what is happening? I'm like, what is this? It just blew my mind. And
because the Yoga to the People practice is a fixed practice?
It's pretty fixed. Mm-hmm. There are certain teachers. I mean, it was, like, let me not speak as in current. I haven't taken a yoga to a people class in a very long time.
Yeah.
When I was there, it was a pretty set sequence.
Yeah.
And like everybody taught it. Some teachers, like the more quote unquote advanced teachers, would teach like variations on that sequence. But it was a pretty fixed sequence, which is why I was limited, I felt, in my teaching ability, because I just knew
that's
the sequence.
That's what you knew,
So I didn't know what to do outside of that. So when I went and saw all these just different things that you could do, and even the restorative, I hadn't taken a lot of restorative, so that was like a mind-blowing thing for me too.
Uh-huh. You ended up liking it.
Oh God, I love restorative.
Plus you were with, and then ended up with Mona.
And that's the whole thing. Like Mona, I was going to say Mona was my mentor. Like Mona really can sell a restorative class.
Yeah.
It's really amazing. So, I mean, even now, like I teach a restorative class here once a week, and I'm like really committed to always teaching a restorative class. And I've made that like, you know, clear. I'm like, I always, you know, I came from the quote unquote from the power flow, you know, tradition, but like I really love restorative and like what it's done for me. And even just the idea of it, I love. Like just the idea of stopping, you know, and mindfully, you know, resting.
Right.
And purposefully doing so and like prioritizing it, you know, because that's how like cultures are made, right? Culture, like the culture of a company, the culture of a city, whatever, is built on its priorities. And the culture of yourself is built on what you prioritize. So if you don't think this is important, then that's how you're going to treat yourself.
Yeah,
you know, so beautiful. Even mentally, I thought it would be important for like, if I'm going to open a studio that like, I talk to people about restorative first.
Right.
Like when they come in, I'm like, oh, like what should I try? I'm like, well, you could take a restorative class. Like, I know you could do that.
Right.
Everybody can do that.
Right.
You know? And then if you want to take a dental class.
All
and
that I'm not flexible gets thrown out the window.
Like, no, come in here and lay down. Just talk about. Yeah. Like, and they're like, and I'm like, yeah, it's great. It's just great. You need that. When was the last time you did that?
Right.
Like, come in here and just lay down. Don't think about anything.
Yeah.
And then that's, I feel like that's like an easier gateway. For some people it's not, though. For some people that's like torture. Yeah. You know,
if there are more vata types who need to move.
They need to move. And I understand them too. And then I'll send them to the vinyasa flow, which is tried and true and really hard to argue with, just moving around a lot. It feels good.
Yeah.
You know?
So the space that we're in right now.
Yes.
You're owner of this studio.
I am a co-founder of this studio along with my Yuki Hirano and Sivan Rodriguez, my wife, and Kana Hirano. So the first studio I taught at was Hosh Yoga, which is a nonprofit organization that was founded by Yuki and Hamid, who I met at my Ishta 300-hour training.
Hamid El-Savar.
Yes. Yes. And so I taught there for free for a long time as a volunteer. And then I ended up working for Yuki also at Do Yoga.
Uh-huh.
And then
in Fort Greene.
In Clinton Hill.
Clinton Hill.
Do Yoga in Clinton Hill. Thank you very much for getting the proper plug before I get in trouble. Yes, Do Yoga in Clinton Hill.
Uh-huh.
And I worked for them. That's where I taught yoga. I just had those two studios for a long time. And I loved it because, you know, I didn't try and teach at Ishta and at other studios because as a younger man, really was not confident in myself and who I was. And I felt very like susceptible to being like taken away, you know, like I, if like somebody could take me and float me away and I wouldn't get a sense of myself. And I was really unsure. So I really wanted to teach in a place that there was no expectation about what I would teach.
And like find your own voice.
And just figure out who I was and what I wanted to do. So like I did that at Hosh and at Doe.
Hosh has been such a fantastic place for so many teachers.
For
that
a lot
way.
Of people in that way. Like just let people, you know, just do your thing.
Yeah.
Do your thing. Don't hurt anybody. Don't be a jerk.
Always
with
important.
The yoga. Really important. First, like, don't come in here and be a jerk and hurt anybody. And then do your thing, you know, within reason. And we try to bring that energy here. So let me jump back. So I've been living in Sunnyside and Woodside for the last like 7 years with my wife, and there wasn't a yoga studio here. And we would constantly see people walking with their yoga mats to the subway, and it was just driving me crazy.
Right.
And finally, I called Yuki and I'm like, listen, man, like, would it be crazy if I said, you know, let's open up a yoga studio in Sunnyside? And he was just like, no, like, it's not crazy at all. And I'm like, okay, cool. Then let's have lunch. And then we tried to find another space and we were really close on it. It didn't work out. We put it down for a few months. And then fast forward and here we are. I mean, we opened in 2 years ago in April, which is amazing. It's been really, really great. The community has really embraced the studio. I was myself very shy in the beginning when we opened because I was really overwhelmed by the responsibility of it. Once we like really started doing it, I was like, wait a minute, like, I'm going to be the guy that owns the yoga studio, you know, and people are going to attach all of these expectations to me and who I am and how I'm supposed to be and like what that means.
Yeah.
Cause I'm like, you know, I'm not Alan Finger. I'm not like any of these guys, you know, but, having Yuki and Kana as business partners really helped because they had opened a yoga studio already. You know, I had worked for Yuki and Yuki's like, no, man, we're just gonna open a studio. It's gonna be cool. Like, we're just gonna like.
And
you
know, Yuki is so chill.
He's so chill.
We'll get back to my interview with Roque in just a minute. Wendy, Ulrika, and I are hosting a retreat this summer in France. The retreat is about creativity itself, and how to have your yoga inform your life in creative ways. So even if you're not, quote unquote, a creative person, it's gonna be really helpful for you. New segment. In my own personal story, I spent years in the arts as a musician, performer, visual artist, and writer. In 2010, I took to writing as my primary activity in addition to teaching yoga. I wrote several novels and continue to work on a new one. Each of them, in a way, explores facets of yoga philosophy in a contemporary setting. I thought I would share with you a little of the book Incarnation. I'll share some excerpts from time to time, starting this week. I've heard from readers that it's the trickiest of my novels, but I think it's also the most fun. The book imagines a world where we exist in normal linear time, but that the lessons and joys of our lives would be the same regardless of the circumstances we find ourselves in. It's a picture of karma, what we need to do and deal with, versus dharma, what our life circumstances look like. Incarnation follows the lives of the major characters in several different threads. Each time there's a choice to be made, the kind of choices we often agonize over. The book spins off an alternate storyline. The characters' lives are slightly different, but their karma is the same. Some of my readers asked for help keeping the storyline straight, so I created a cheat sheet. It lives on my website, peterfurco.com, and I'll share those notes as I read you from the book over the next podcast episodes. Just click on the bonus episode in your podcast feed, and you can listen as a bedtime story or a commuting story if you prefer. I hope you enjoy it. Stick around for more of Peter's podcast.
It's been really great. The community's been really great. I was really nervous. I was really shy. The community supported me. Wow. You know, in my growth. And I really felt like they lifted me up and were like, no, you're great. And I was like, no, that's crazy. And they're like, no, this is great. You guys did a great job. Yeah. You should be proud of yourself. And wow. I was just like, wow, we spent a bunch of time.
You provided this fantastic resource for them in their neighborhood.
I know. And we really wanted to.
Yeah,
you know, it's the whole thing. And we really wanted to, we really tried to, and then it's not often you try to do a thing and people actually appreciate the thing that
right,
you tried to do
right.
and the reasons that you did it, like little things like that we did. People were like, hey, I noticed that you did this little thing. I love that. And I'm just like, oh, thank you for
That's
noticing
beautiful.
That little thing, because we
yeah.
actually agonized over that little thing for hours,
right.
you know, before making the decision to do it. So
right.
Stuff like that has been extremely rewarding. We just had our first teacher training, and it was the same thing for me personally. Again, if I wouldn't have had Yuki, who has run teacher trainings at Doe,
yeah.
I wouldn't have done it. But knowing that he would be there, I was kind of like, oh, I can do this because he's doing it, and
yeah.
I'm going to puppet do it.
You
yeah. know,
you
he'll
have
do
someone
it,
to ask.
And I'll just turn, worst yeah. case scenario, I'll turn to Yuki and be like, Yuki, what do you think? I don't know the answer to this question.
Right.
But the teacher trainees actually lifted me up and made me feel like, no, we are happy to learn from you.
They
you know?
Always do, man.
And they just it was, it's the most rewarding thing I've ever
it's
done.
It's such a rewarding thing
it was
to
the
do
most
teacher
rewarding
training
thing.
Because people are looking for the deeper understanding of this practice that you've been teaching them, or, I mean, you're not necessarily have been teaching them, but
yeah.
they've been working on it
yeah.
and they want to grow and they want to learn what is this really about.
Yeah.
And because you've been doing it, you have what it takes to give them.
I have something to share.
Exactly.
And that's how I approached it. And I really grew a lot in this last teacher training. I ran a teacher training here. Yuki and I ran a teacher training here. And my friend Amy Hansen,
yep.
Who has studied at ISHTA, yep. Who's done a couple of things at ISHTA, trainings at ISHTA. I think she did the restorative and yoga nidra training at ISHTA. She led the teacher training with me at Hosh
uh-huh.
recently also, which was
cool.
a great full circle kind of
right.
a situation for me. But in both those trainings, I really feel like I took a training. I felt like I just...
Totally.
I really feel like I just did another teacher training.
Yeah.
That's how I feel. And,
yeah.
I felt crazy for a month after. I was just like, what just happened?
Yeah.
You know, just...
Yeah.
I learned so much from them. My teaching has changed
right.
since I did the teacher training. I feel that people are commenting on it. I know it's different
yeah.
because and you know this already where I'm going with this, but in teaching the philosophies, I realized that I wasn't even adhering to my own philosophies, right? I'm like, oh, here are the underlying principles of this.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, don't you do this sometimes? These are my students who are don't you sometimes do this? And I'm like, yeah, I think that's wrong that I do that. Actually, now that we all say it out loud,
yeah.
that was not correct.
Yeah.
And they were so receptive to that and open and not judgmental. And I realized, I'm like, oh, if you just come from an honest space of this is what I have to share,
right?
You can't really get hurt. You can't really be wrong. And I wanted to thank you because you came and did a meditation, a philosophy lecture here with Nami's Japanese teacher training, the Wave Yoga teacher training.
Yeah.
And I came and observed that. And I remember you shared something that really stuck with me. And it was that the idea, and we were discussing the sutras, the idea of having everything you need, right? Like, and really always having it. And like, you know, I get teary thinking about it. And really like having a belief in that, like a belief in that, like the way you believe that the sun is going to come up or that, you know, like there's
a trust more than a belief. Yeah.
Like, no, I have it.
Yeah.
Right. And you made the example of, oh, I brought all these notes, but I've been talking just from, you know, my mind and my experience. And I approach teacher training the same way. Like I brought notes, but I was just like, look, like Warrior One, like, let me tell you about Warrior One.
Right.
Like, you know, when you teach Warrior One, sometimes this might happen, that might happen. You might have this, you might have that. This is what I've seen. This is what I know.
Yeah.
You know, like that's what I got for you. You know, and you might find somebody else that's going to tell you something different, and you should think about that. You should approach it at what's your why for that? Like, and that's it.
Yeah.
And that's it. You know, and it was just such a relief.
Patreon. Patreon is a cool artist funding site. It allows me to make Peter's podcast without running ads for anything that is anything. I just get to say, please go to Peter's podcast on Patreon and support me at any level you like. And now we'll pick up my chat with Roque about what it's been like to open SiriusSide and also a little bit about marketing when it applies to yoga. Enjoy.
I love SiriusSide.
Yeah.
You know, it's been really amazing. It's been really special. People told me that and I didn't believe it. You know, like I was like, oh yeah, sure. Like you just had a nice time. But like now it's really like lately I've been like, oh no, I think it might. I'm like, oh no, I think we might've, you know, made a special studio and it's really nice. So
that's awesome.
I'm really glad to get a chance to talk about it. Cause I'm kind of shy about it. I had a friend of mine like a few months ago and that's why I've been trying to be more with the social media, like in the last few months, but I had a friend of mine like 6 months ago be like, "Yo, you don't talk about your studio," and I was just like, and "I'm like, like, it felt braggy, you know, and weird to me." And also,
marketing like I said, can be like that.
I don't know,
but you know, it's also just sharing,
and that's what a very good friend of mine. I'm gonna shout her out to Holly Toronto. She's a health and body image coach. Like I had conversations with her, like just having a cup of coffee with her. She was volunteering here at the studio for a while, and having a cup of coffee with her, she helped me with that and saying like, you are not selling. You know, you are sharing things, you are offering things that you believe in. You are offering things that you love. If I came to your house, you wouldn't be selling me a glass of water or a cup of tea, right? Like you would be offering it to me to see if I want it because you have it and you want to share it with me.
Right. Otherwise, you know, people don't know.
Otherwise, they don't know. How would they even know? And, and I would get that stuff from my other friends like, yo, I didn't know about your blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, ah. But like sometimes, you know, I guess it's my own judgment, and it's something that I'm still working on. It's my own level of like being judgmental.
You know, we all have suffer from this like imposter syndrome, you know, that like, am I really good enough to be doing this thing? And it's like everybody has that.
Absolutely everybody.
Yeah.
That's what I figured out in the last year. I'm like, oh, every single person doesn't think they're good enough.
Yeah. Maybe we could talk a little bit more about some of the other stuff on social media, because I follow you there and, you know, I see that you've got stuff going on in music and you've got stuff going on also outside teaching
yoga. I want to talk about that also. The outside project that we have now is the I Can Breathe Yoga, which we started a free yoga class in Queensbridge Housing over here in Long Island City, which is like... Probably, I was telling my friend the other day, like the thing I'm most proud of, like up to date, we've only been up for a few weeks. You know, I think the first week we had 5 people, then we had like 7 people and four people. But that's what I told my friend. I'm like, if one person shows up to this class, it's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is a thing that was not here that is here now. You know, I'm like, and that by itself is a thing. I'm like, totally. That is something. I'm like, we already won. Like, we can crack the champagne bottle right now. And he's like, oh no, but it's not, you know, it's not successful yet. I'm like, no, it's successful because it's here.
Yes.
You know, and it wasn't. So that it's a, and the way we, my idea for that program was to offer a scholarship to somebody in return for them teaching a free class in an underserved, neighborhood for 6 months.
So scholarship for
a teacher training.
Okay.
So somebody who's interested in doing a teacher training, but you know, the price of teacher training can be prohibitive.
Right.
So, I just did a free scholarship.
So these are people who are doing yoga now but aren't teaching, or they're
correct. So okay. Like in my dream for the program is that somebody from said neighborhood who is interested in yoga, yeah, will come take the teacher training and then come back to their neighborhood and teach yoga. Yeah. But I wasn't able to connect with anybody before the teacher training, gotcha, started. So I reached out to people in my own network, and then one of my very best friends actually, uh-huh, ended up doing it. So wow. He took the teacher training, and now he's going to be teaching from February, March, April, May, June, July. Mm-hmm. And I'm working on getting volunteers to keep the program going when he's done. And he may stay on for longer than that. Right. But my dream is to like really make this a nationwide program. And it's something, so I'm, wow, working with now with, for that program, we partnered with Suryaside Yoga, my studio, but Host Yoga is also partnering with us, in order to do like make the flyers and to help us to promote the program in general. And to that, we're also going to be offering a scholarship at the next Host teacher training, mm-hmm, for the program as well. And one of my dreams is to get like every yoga studio to offer a scholarship to their training and work. So but the way that it works is that we partnered, oh my God, I almost forgot. We partnered with Jacob Reese, uh-huh, Neighborhood Settlement, uh-huh, and they run all the nonprofit services in Queensbridge Housing.
Okay.
So through our partnership, they had a gymnasium, so they had the space.
Perfect.
So in the months leading up to the program starting, like I met with them several times. I went to their staff retreat day and I taught meditation to the staff, nice, to like get them interested in the idea, right, of like yoga being a thing.
Right.
And then finally they gave us the space at their gymnasium, which they were super generous to do, and we're very grateful.
Yeah.
But like, and I realized like that is the road to bringing yoga to all these places. And so I'm hoping to, with your podcast and other forms of media, to just get the word out to people, like, you know, I Can Breathe Yoga. It's a great program. We don't even, like, it doesn't have to run through us. Like, other studios can do it. If they need help partnering with a nonprofit in their area, we can help them with that. You know, they can email us at info@hostyoga. We're going to be running, yeah, the program through Host Yoga. So
cool. I'll put links in the show notes.
Awesome. For, yeah, I'll give you the links. Yeah, yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate,
yeah, sure,
that.
Sure.
Yeah, we're going to get a website up for it soon. But yeah, it was kind of just a brainchild of mine. I'm really, 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 really excited about
it's
it.
It's really great. I mean, and in this moment, historically, to provide something so valuable.
And that's the whole thing, because like that's one of the things that I realized. I've been walking in this direction for a long time, and I just couldn't put my finger on, mm-hmm, the thing. I'm like trying to solve this problem, how to solve this problem. And I realized, okay, well, me running around teaching yoga everywhere is not going to like really get it done. I am going to do some volunteer teaching. I just took the prison liberation, uh-huh, liberation prison workshop
with Annika,
and I'm going to, uh-huh, start volunteering with them. Shout out to that program also. Like, they're, mm-hmm, amazing. She's amazing. If you, mm-hmm, ever get a chance to get her on your podcast and talk, yep, to her, her and Onika, who runs the program with her, like really amazing people. And I really love the workshop, and I really want everybody to go take it, please. so shout out to them. Please go do that workshop. But yeah, like, so that's the volunteer work that I'm going to go do. But that's the problem, is that people try to like do everything themselves,
yeah,
and don't think about sustainable solutions.
Right.
So I'm just trying to find out, like, figure out a way that we can like keep, right, this churning out. But when I first started doing yoga, one of the things that I realized was like how relaxed it made me feel. And I was raised by my mother. My parents got divorced when I was like 6 or 7, and my father moved to Dominican Republic when I was like 9 or 10. So from that point on, like, you know, my mother was raising us by herself. I have me and my two older siblings. And
were they both from the DR?
My parents are both from the DR.
Okay.
Yes. They immigrated here. That's a good, they immigrated here when my mom was like 21. And my my brother and my sister and I are first generation. You know?
And your dad went back.
And my dad went back. Gotcha. And he still lives there now. He has a very successful immigration law practice now. Mm-hmm. And he's doing really well. And, you know, we're all good now.
That's good. Yeah.
But back then it was heavy. And right. It was, you know, it was a whole thing. And my mom was dealing with that by herself. And we grew up in Paterson, New Jersey, which is like a hood area. Mm-hmm. And it was deep, you know, and she was insistent, thankfully, on sending us to private school, you know, to send us to Catholic school, because she didn't want us to go to public school because the public school was horrible.
Wow.
You know, it was really bad.
Yeah.
So because of that, she was always very stressed out. And like in my teenage years, it just got very like, you know, there was a lot of depression in my house, mm-hmm. and it was very dark and cloudy and heavy. And I remember the first time I did yoga thinking like, oh man, like if only my mom could have caught
a
yoga class.
How did you find the yoga?
Well, I found the yoga through my then girlfriend, now wife, Sivan, is actually the first person who took me to a yoga class.
Wow.
Which is, you know, like, I always believe that the universe, you know, sent Sivan to me and to the world, you know, you know, it's like if Sivan doesn't take me to that yoga class, maybe this person doesn't take their first yoga class in Queensbridge housing, you know, and like, just like the dots that
the
connect from those things,
effect,
it's so awesome, you know?
Yeah.
So things like that make me all like, you know, I get all weird and mushy. But yeah, Sivan and I were working together at Red Lobster.
Uh-huh.
She was a bartender at the time.
Was that when she was taking TT at Ishta?
When she was taking TT at Ishta, she was working at Olive Garden.
Okay.
You know, so she's just like a serial corporate. We both were serial corporate bartenders.
Gotcha.
Because, you know, the money was good.
Yep.
So what are you going to do?
Yeah.
At the time I was working at Red Lobster, we were friends actually, and then I hurt my back, and she suggested that we go to this yoga class, and at that point I was getting kind of desperate because I had called out of work, you know, and I missed money. I was like, oh, I lost like $200, and that sucks.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, you should come take this yoga class. I said, okay, cool. Took the yoga class. I felt great, you know. I honestly felt really amazing.
Right.
So we went back a couple days later and took another class, and at that class, one of the teachers after the class was like, oh, we're doing a teacher training. So is that my second yoga class? oh, we're doing a teacher training in a few weeks, you know, sign up or whatever. And then we're leaving, and we were at my St. Mark's place. So we were on our way to Pommes Frites, right around the corner, getting some French fries. And I remember saying, oh, wouldn't it be funny if I was a yoga teacher? And we both started laughing hysterically because I'm like a really loud, you know, boisterous, ridiculous kind of a person. My family's Dominican, like we're just loud, you know? And we laughed and we laughed and we laughed. And then I thought about it and I was like, huh, actually, I think it would be kind of cool if I was a yoga teacher. I think I'm going to do it. You know, and then I just, and then I started practicing like a few times a week, and then took the teacher training, and then, you know, here's history.
This summer, Wendy and I hit the road. We start in Finland. If you're looking for a unique destination for a 200-hour teacher training, join us with Aino Siren and Mikaela Soldan in Helsinki. Then, Wendy and I are off around Europe. Stay tuned for details or sign up for my newsletter on peterfurco.com. I don't send it to you a lot, and it's always got good stuff. For all the details of what I have going on, please check out peterfurco.com. There are links there to Patreon, to information about retreats, to my books, everything I got going on. I try to stick it up there. So check it out and enjoy. Here's the rest of my interview. Roque is talking about his new entertainment pursuits.
Recently, I have started an entertainment company to do entertainment for events and for artistic productions as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Live Now Entertainment. So if anybody ever needs anything entertainment-wise, musicians, jazz musicians, opera singers, rappers, R&B singers, karaoke DJs, regular DJs, all that stuff. I love music.
You know?
It's really ironic because I've walked a really weird path towards starting this entertainment company. It was actually one of the original things I wanted to do when I was younger. And I used to do it when I was younger. I did a lot of slam poetry and I was starting to get like really good at that. And getting competitive, and I had dropped like a, you know, a revolutionary hip hop album, you know, like a young, angry black man album.
Yeah.
I dropped one of those, and it was super cool, and it was a lot of fun, where I was going to take down the government, and it was going to be great. And then I got to a point where I had to really commit, and I got really scared, and I just stopped. And I didn't have the confidence, and I really just stopped. I stopped performing. I stopped like writing really, except for like sometimes at random. I stopped like being in freestyle sessions. I just stopped. I practiced yoga, did the Ishta training. Mona was really crucial. I always want to shout out Mona because, and I talked in my teacher training, I spoke a lot about this. And I think that it's not like she told me something that I'd never heard me before, but you know, the teachers appear when the student is ready,
right?
Type of situation. And like Mona really helped me with the idea of acceptance, like as a general idea, not just like of myself and of everything, like acceptance, mm-hmm. like for real acceptance. Because at the time I was still focused on the idea of like tolerance, right? Like, okay, well, this is fine. Like, I'm cool with that. Like, whatever. But like, I'm cool with that is different from like, no, I accept that that is. And like, I am one with that, you know, like it really is. And I can love it for what it is, this included, you know?
Yeah.
And that thing was me, you know, like I had always had a lot of trouble accepting myself for who I was and what I wanted to do. And I thought it was a thing of just a yoga teacher, but like, it's a thing that I've had a problem with my whole life. Like, I think that there was a certain set of expectations on me as a young kid. I was really smart. I excelled. So like people were like, oh, you're going to be this, you're going to be that, mm-hmm. you know, you'll grow up and be the president. And I actually really thought I was going to grow up and be the president, like for real.
Yeah.
You know, like.
It's possible.
And now I actually am coming back around on it. Like, oh, it could happen. But the whole thing is that like now I believe that anybody can be president.
That's
literally.
Right. That's right.
I don't think I want to be anymore is the thing that I really had to accept. And it was really hard for me was that, you know, I don't want to go into politics. I do want to lead. But I also want to be free. Mm-hmm. And I just want to kind of do whatever I want. And I love music and I love to perform and I'm totally a ham, you know, like, and I am, and I always was, I never was not. And when I really went back into my past, I'm like, I have consistently been this way since like 4 years old.
Yeah.
And I've always been trying to be something, I guess, like more distinguished, you know, like I'm immigrants. I'm an immigrant son.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was like, go be a lawyer, go be a doctor, go be something distinguished. And when I was like 18 or 19 or 20 and had trouble with all of that, I didn't know what to do. So I was like, well, I'm not going to do anything. You know, I was like, I'm not going to do shit. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm just going to bartend. I'm going to cross my arms. Right. I dropped out of college. Like, I was just like, I don't know. I had like a real existential crisis.
Yeah,
I was
listening
to the podcast with Wendy talking about the existential crisis.
Yeah,
and that. But who am I? You know, and what am I going to do? And I realized circling back around that the yoga practice, like, and even opening the studio was like really the final cherry, right? Like the final, like, I know who I am, you know, and I know what I love. And while I didn't have the confidence to get into music, so I got into yoga. Yoga gave me the confidence to get into music.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And now I'm like, no, look, I can go make music. Like, I don't care. I want to make music. And she's my business partner now. And she like inspired me. She's like, hey, listen, like, let's do this. Like, I love this too. Like, I know you love this. I watch you do this. There's no way you don't love this.
Yeah.
And her name is Adriana Nunez. She's an amazing singer. And she's going to be like super famous one day. So like, you know, and we'll get her on your podcast.
Beautiful.
And it'll be great. she's like really an amazing singer. And so she inspired me. And I was like, you know what? Okay, like, let's do this. Let's start this company and let's go do this thing. And then so the first hurdle to, okay, let's go make our own album. Oh, well, rehearsal time costs money and studio time costs money and all these things cost money. So then I quit my bartending job and I got a job for an entertainment company like doing MC work.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually did my first bar mitzvah last October. I MC'd a bar mitzvah, which is on like my top five silliest, most like ridiculous things that I do that I'm good at. But
that's
like,
great.
It was great. It was so much fun. And the little girl, it's a little girl, cause she was a little girl. It was a bat mitzvah, excuse me.
Yeah.
Came out to me afterwards and was like, thank you for making my night so special. Oh. And I was like, stop it! cause here I'm thinking like, oh, this is a cheesy job that I'm literally just doing for a check to support my yoga life in the meantime. Because contrary to popular opinion, yoga studio owners aren't necessarily millionaires. And I was just like, but it actually like had like a heartwarming fulfilling aspect to it, on top of the money, which is, again, all I'm trying to do. I just want to do things that I enjoy, that I like, that I get fulfilled by, that I find fulfillment in. So, so combining all those things, I'm like, okay, let's do entertainment gigs in the weekend so we can support our artistic endeavors. Mm-hmm. And we can quit all these like bullshit jobs that I hate, you know, so much.
I think yoga and art stuff goes together perfectly.
It goes together so well. Yeah. It's extremely complimentary. And it's like, even when I find myself blocked as a writer and stuff like that, like, you know, asana practice, meditation practice, like really helps me out. So I feel good. I feel like those things jive and I can do both those things and it's not like dirty to me.
Yep. Go to patreon.com/peterspodcast and support the podcast for any amount you like. Trying to make it fun. I've got some like cool rewards that you can get. And some of the levels have opportunities to work with me privately, either by getting a specific mantra or by even having a private. So check it out. Patreon.com/Peter's Podcast.
First, you know, Sivan, you mentioned Sivan teaching. Like when we first opened, she taught before she got into law school. Mm-hmm. Shout out to my wife, Sivan, real quick. Yeah. She's in law school and she is amazing. Yay. And she's in law school and she ran the studio for the first year that we were open. First year and a half, and she still kind of does run the studio, but we have a manager now, so it's like her workload is lighter. But she's amazing. I just wanted to shout her out.
Yeah, and she did teacher training at ISHTA. I was one of her teachers.
Yes, she did teacher training at ISHTA. And that's one thing that she said to me, like, was that when we first opened, I was like, babe, you have to teach. She was like, okay, I'll teach. But like, at first she didn't want to teach for money because she didn't want to ruin the yoga.
Yeah.
And I was like, it was so deep for me when she said that to me. She was like, I don't want to ruin yoga. At first she didn't want to open a studio. She's like, I'm scared we open a studio, it's going to ruin yoga for me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, it's so deep. I was like, what do you mean? She's like, because then you're going to be trying to sell this thing.
Yeah.
You know, that is like such a special thing and how can you sell it?
Yeah.
And I remember just the other day reflecting on that with a friend of mine. Shout out to my boy, Ja Poet. He's an amazing artist. And he was saying that he's like, yeah, one of the hardest things, Rock, is like trying to put a price tag on the art. Like when I'm trying to sell it, I have to let people say, how much is that? And I'm like, what do you mean? And he's always like, what do you mean? Like, I don't know. Like, this is like my heart right here.
Right.
This is my blood and bones. Like, how much is it? Like, what kind of an insulting question is that? Like, you know, like it's, but he has to sell it too. Cause then he can't make more cause he won't have a house to live in or food or anything.
Yeah. A good friend of mine is a painter and at one point he was having a show and so he had to get a piece that he had sold from somebody to put in the show. And so when he went to pick it up, the person who bought it said, be careful with my painting. And he said, it's my painting. It's like, you might sell them, but they are your
they
heart.
Are mine.
They're
it's
your
mine.
Children, you know?
Yeah, man. That's painful.
Yeah.
Actually, as an artist. And so it's not painful here because it's awesome because I get to share it. But it is, I mean, I don't know. I'd love to hear any of your thoughts on that. If you have any, like, how do you reconcile, you know, being an entrepreneur and trying to be a person that shares yoga with the world?
It's a tricky thing. I mean, I think it's a line. You know, you have to walk a line because as a person living in a place that requires you to pay for things, you have to make money. And so if your life, you know, the karma and the dharma of it work out so that, say, you are a lawyer, right? But you love teaching yoga and you do that on the side, beautiful.
Great.
But if it doesn't work out that you're the lawyer, but you still have something to teach and people want it and it's helping, then you have to charge for it.
Yeah.
You know, what you charge for it, that's where the gray area comes in a little bit. But also, you know, some people aren't happy or comfortable unless they have enough of a comfortable place to live. Like, you can't live in squalor and be a good teacher, you know? So you have to figure it out. When it becomes too much about ego, that's too far.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
And
that's one of the major things that I'm trying to, you know, really work on, because it's one of the scariest things about this industry. I feel like it's the scariest thing about this industry, actually.
Yeah.
Is what can happen when egos get out of control, and like the idol worship, and like the, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? But just like the praise.
Yeah.
Of teachers
get admired by teachers, their students.
And teachers feeding off of that and mm-hmm. then like using it. It makes me like, all of that makes me really uncomfortable. Even like just thinking about it, it's like, oh, this is like, it's just, it's so terrible. So
well, one of the goddesses in the pantheon, you know, of the mother is Kali.
Yeah.
And her role is to chop off your head.
Yeah.
You know, your head being the ego the component, ego. You know, and it's like, anytime you think you're the one doing any of this stuff, yes. it's like, whoosh, you know?
And I'm so aware of that. So I'm like, okay, I'm just going to be super mindful about this. Because if I, like, I think I'm living, like, a good life, quote, like, I, like, you know, I'm not trying to, like, whatever. I think I'm doing well in terms of, like,
right.
how I'm approaching life generally. But I'm like, but as soon as you think that, that's when everything goes wrong.
Well, but I mean, like, also, like, there's false humility, too, yeah. you know, or, like, not living, not doing your part, like
yeah.
in the Bhagavad Gita, you know, Krishna's up there on the mountain facing this big battle, and he says, you know, I don't want to do this. I don't want to go kill these people. What yeah. is this about? You know, and Krishna says, you're the prince. You're the warrior. This is your job.
This is what you do.
You have to go and be the leader yeah. of all these people who are looking up to you. So it's like, again, a fine line. You do it, but you don't think you're the one, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, I don't fit in the box. I'm not, it makes me really unhappy.
Yeah.
The box makes me like crazy.
Well, I'm glad you found this box to
yeah.
teach yoga in and to create
it's really nice.
This resource for Sunnyside.
It's really, really great. They've been so, I can't like oversell it. I cannot oversell it. The people in this community have
which will make your marketing person very happy.
Yeah, no, I mean, the people in this community have been so kind to us and so receptive, and there's a real community here.
Yeah.
And I'm not taking responsibility for that. Like, I just, it happened, it, like, almost in spite of me. Like, you know, like, in spite of how shy I was being, like, I watched students become friends with other students, work studies become, yeah. like, friends with other, like
yeah.
everybody. Like, there's a genuine intermingling. I see people hanging out in cafes and stuff, and I'm like, oh, it's so crazy.
So
some
great.
Of the other business owners have, like, thanked us. Like, oh, like, you know, there's always, like, the cafe fills up after class.
Wow.
You know, with people after class with their yeah. yoga mats. You know.
You're making a community.
We actually genuinely contributed to the community.
Yeah. yeah.
Which I'm really proud of.
Yeah.
And by, it's... I almost don't even like to talk about it because I don't want everybody to move here, but this is an amazing community.
Yeah.
Shout out to you if you're thinking about moving.
Yep.
Woodside, Sunnyside, both of it. It's like, I have never lived anywhere like this. You know, I have never been in such a neighborly place.
Mm.
People are like, know each other
mm.
and smile and say hello.
Yep.
And it's not annoying like how I always thought
right.
it would be as a kid. Like, you know, like where it's uncomfortable.
Right.
Although I'm sure there is some of that taking place at some point, but I haven't experienced that. Like, it's generally, people are cool.
Yeah.
People are chill. They're not hoity-toity, but they're not like, I don't know, I feel weird.
Not provincial at the same time.
At the same time.
Yeah.
You know, they're just like, normal's the wrong word, but like, normal. Like, I don't
yeah.
know. Like, they're super, they're just like, it's, you know what, sometimes, like, I love Greenpoint. Like, I teach yoga
yeah.
in Greenpoint. And I love Williamsburg, and it's all, like, I love it, the food, and
yeah.
the park, I love McCarran Park, and I love, the energy is, like, the vibe is so dope,
yeah.
But it feels like when you're over there, like, you're, it, like, you must, like, you're competing.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, it's like competitive coolness out
right.
there, like, who can be the coolest?
Right.
Like, oh, the parents are cool.
Well, we're so cool, we don't have to worry about
and
it, we just walk through.
Exactly, I'm always ignored it, but, like, you know, but I'm aware of it, I'm always like,
right.
wow, like, y'all
right.
are, like, that's a dope outfit.
Right.
Like, this is great.
Yeah.
But over here, like, I don't even, not that people don't wear outfits, but yeah, I don't see the people wearing, like, really cool outfits. Like,
yeah.
everybody looks like they live here. This is their neighborhood.
Yeah.
They're just popping over to the cafe to get a drink. They didn't feel the need to put on this elaborate outfit to
right.
compete with the other people in neighborhoods, elaborate outfits, and show how non-conformative they are by,
yes.
like, conforming to this non-conformist uniform. They're not doing that, right?
Yes.
They're just like, whatever.
Yes.
T-shirt, jeans, go out.
Yeah.
It's great. And I'm like, that's how I am. I just want to, like, you know, I'm like, you know, that's why I was such a fan of Mona.
Yeah.
And she was just like, oh, do whatever.
Yeah.
I remember, like, being there, like, oh, like, I didn't get a chance to do the homework and da 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 da. And she's like, don't do it. And I was just like, that's crazy. Dude, I was like, I don't know if you're allowed to say that. She was like, yeah, just don't do it. Like, just don't do it. And I was like, that's like, you know, I hadn't been given that permission in my life. And it's not, and it wasn't about the homework or not. It was really about the idea of like, whatever. Who cares? Like, who made these rules? Who's in charge?
Right.
Like, and these are questions that I hadn't fully, you know, asked myself. And now I'm really getting to that. And you can hear the Mona in my class when I teach. Cause I'm just like, I'm almost daring you to do the easy thing. Uh-huh. Like, I dare you.
Yeah.
I dare you to put your knees down and plank. Like, yeah. I come on, do it. Like, you know, like, I know you want to do it. Just do it. Because I love the idea of that. Like, notice that you think that that's worse. Like, why do you think that's worse?
Yes.
Why is it worse?
Yes. I mean, that's our job as yoga teachers, is redefining this thing that has gotten its life of its own, you know?
Julie, one of my favorite podcasters was into a podcast, and he's an older Jewish man, and he was describing his first yoga class, and I was just like, I want to write him a letter so bad, because it was everything I don't want to happen, and it happened to him in that class.
Man.
And he's like, and they came by and they adjusted me, and like, and you know, they kept telling me to do this, and you know, and I hated it, and like, I was just like, he's like, this is one of my favorite podcasts, and he's like, you're disparaging, you know, yoga to the world. And I'm like, and I'm just like, my head wanted to explode. I'm like, that's not true. It doesn't have to be that way. Right. Who took you to that class anyway? They should have taken you to a gentle class.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, it's like, come on.
Yeah.
He was in a traditional vinyasa class.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, this is crazy. Why would you do that? And that's something that I think that, and I have to thank Ishta so much, because this, if you spoke to people like in this community and they described to you like why they love this studio, you would think you were listening to a studio about Ishta, because mm-hmm. like, it's just that like we all actually went to Ishta. You did a Ishta too.
Yeah.
You went to
the 500.
The 500 hour Ishta also. So we actually all went there.
Yeah.
And we're all influenced by that idea of, this is how yoga should be. It should be for everyone, actually.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when I went to Yoga to the People, it's Yoga to the People. But like, when I went to go teach the people, like for real, the people, well, their bodies couldn't do those things.
Right.
And I didn't know how to help them.
Right.
And that was like extremely frustrating for me. So when we led our 200 hour, that was like the thing that we really focused on. I was like, look, when you take this teacher training, when you leave, you will be able to teach anyone yoga. You will. What level, like what mastery, like that's questionable, like your sequencing, like that's whatever, but like you're gonna be able to do it. You're gonna be able to teach people yoga without hurting them. Your grandma, mm-hmm. a child, you will be able to teach them yoga.
Yeah.
Like that was our goal. You know, like you're not gonna be scared. You know, you're not gonna be wondering what to do. You're gonna figure it out.
Yeah.
Because you're gonna have the tools. And that's what we emphasize. That's when we wrote our schedule. Like, you know, we have like a gentle class and a vigorous class, like in the evening, and a gentle class and a vigorous class in the morning. And like, that's every day, you know, so like everybody can come to class,
right?
You know, there's something for you. And it's something that we like insisted upon. And then people in the beginning were like, we want more vigorous classes. And we were like, okay, cool. But like, we want a studio that's for the community.
Right.
And if we do that, we're going to isolate people. And like we had faith, and sure enough, like the studio is doing well now, like because
it's great,
everybody has found their level, and it was really, really, really funny to watch happen, and really weird watching that happen, watch people, you know, being the class that maybe wasn't like necessarily suited for them, and like figure it out, and changing the schedule names and like adjusting the description so people could understand. It's all been like a really fun experiment.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, man, thank you so much
for sharing. Much. I just rambled a lot.
Yeah. It's okay.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk about everything. I can't just do one last plug.
Yeah, yeah.
We are doing a Hosh Yoga, Doe Yoga, and Serious Side Yoga are partnering on an intensive teacher training in the Dominican Republic this summer for anybody who is thinking about just deepening their practice. Or if you just want
a 200-hour training.
It's a 200-hour training, If you're just thinking about just going away and doing lots of yoga and talking about it, you can come also. So yes, that's called the Breath of Life Teacher Training, and you can find that on the Serious Side website or Hosh or Doe Yoga. And also, if you want to support the I Can Breathe Yoga program, you can find that on Hosh Yoga's website or Serious Side Yoga's website as well. And those are the two things that I wanted to talk about that I want to make sure.
Beautiful.
Said. So thank you.
Namaste.
Namaste, Peter. Thank you so much. Yeah.
That's this episode of Peter's Podcast. I hope you've had a good time listening. I had great fun talking to Roque, and I'm really looking forward to sharing Incarnation with you in the bonus episode that's right after this one, just like the next subway train coming along behind. All right, have a wonderful day. Namaste.